So it's always good to see you all in the little squares, even though we can't all be together. I do so value these times of Zoom together. They're a really important way of gathering and being with Jesus. And it's my pleasure this week of bringing you the next talk series in our series on the signs which we find in John. And I'm bringing you the sixth sign, which is the story of the healing of the man born blind, which is found in John 9, verses 1 to 11. And hopefully by now you've got the hang of the fact that this isn't just a series on a load of miracles Jesus did. It's about signs, and that the signs are more important than the actual miracles. So what do the signs mean? What do they point to? So before I start, I've asked Alistair Turner, you're out there somewhere, to read John 9, verses 1 to 11 for us.
As he walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. He went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar asked, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed, and I received my sight."
Fantastic. Thank you, Alistair. And another Celtic voice in the mix of this morning. So I want to talk about three things. I want to talk about what actually is going on here. I want to talk about the demolishing of assumptions. And as you probably guessed so far, I'm going to talk about what have you seen. So firstly, what actually is going on here? From the first reading in this, I don't know if this jumped out at you, but it certainly jumped out at me. It just looks like Jesus is saying this man was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. What? This man was actually born blind so that God could do something. So God allowed or let somebody be born blind so that this could happen. Do you know, that doesn't quite compute for me. Does it compute for you? So what do you do? What do you do when you come across something in the Bible that you think, "Oh, I don't really think that," or but it seems to say it? Do we skip over it? Do we just believe it because that's what it says? Or do we, which I would recommend we do, wrestle with it? Do we think about it? Do we think, well, what's going on here? Greg Boyd, a great theologian, talks about the fact that in these moments in scripture, it usually means that something else is going on. There's something else going on. Tom Wright, another great theologian, says of this particular verse, something stranger, at once more mysterious and more hopeful is going on. Is this the God we know? Is this what's happening? Somebody pointed out, I think it was Colin or might have been Andy, that there's actually no punctuation in Hebrew. So you could read it like this. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. Or you can read it like this. He was born blind, full stop or semicolon. So that God's works might be revealed in him. Do you see what's happening there? Tom Wright goes on to say, the chaos and misery of this present world is, it seems, the raw material out of which the loving and wise and just God is making his new creation. So Jesus spits on the ground. It's a bit gross, isn't it? Spitting on the ground, spitting so much on the ground that he can make a load of muddy stuff. That's not just a little bit of spit, is it? Anyway, perhaps it was more commonplace then, but how many of us wince when we see somebody, a footballer, spitting? Or is that just me, or is that all of us? He spits on the ground, he makes this mud, shoves it on this guy's eyes, and then he says, "Off, go off and wash in the pool of can't pronounce it, Siloam or whatever it is. That's the ceremonial pool that's part of the temple complex. In this story, the signs we've been seeing, Jesus has been performing these signs and he's been gradually, starting in Galilee, he's been moving towards Jerusalem. Now he's in Jerusalem at the temple, in the temple complex. Temple, garden, you know, you can pull temple imagery from garden imagery in Genesis. That's very significant and symbolic, but a whole nother talk probably, so I won't talk about that one. So there they are. He goes, he washes his eyes, and he can see. Suddenly, this man who has been born blind, he has no idea about what seeing means. He can see. It's an unprecedented miracle. Now, prophets do this sort of stuff. So in their culture and in their stories and writings, they would have understood that prophets do strange things like spitting on the ground. Look at the sort of stuff that Ezekiel did or some of the other prophets. This was an unprecedented miracle, says in verse 32. It's an amazing sign of redemptive restoration. He can see. And people around and the readers of John's audience, if you like, would see a parallel here back to Genesis. In Genesis, God made man from dust. He made mankind from the dust of the ground. And here we see Jesus using the dust of the ground to recreate, to make a new man who can see. So what's going on here then? Jesus is pointing out very clearly and potentially controversially and possibly offensively to the religious leaders, I am God. Here, I am doing the recreation thing. I am wholly divine. I am wholly human. I am the light of the world. But more than that, I am the light in the world. I have come to you. I am with you. God is renewing creation, not abandoning it. That is just awesome. Jesus coming like that. The more I've read this story, the more I am in love with Jesus. And the second point is around demolishing assumptions. And again, I just love the way Jesus does this. Throughout the stories we read about Jesus in the Gospels, he just knocks stuff out of the water all the time. Things that people believe or think or they're sure are right. He says here, neither. Was it this man's sin or was it something that his parents did that he was born blind? The disciples asked, neither, says Jesus. And this would have been a commonly held assumption at this time, that a disabled person or person of difference, there was something that had gone on that was sinful in that person's generation or perhaps that person themselves. And the Pharisees allude to this a bit later on in the story if you read it. They themselves tell the man he was born in sin from head to toe, because they refuse to believe the miracle. And of course, actions do have consequences. Consequences also have actions, but actions have consequences. But this isn't inevitable. And I just love it. Jesus just smashes this out of the water, this assumption that this is something that has gone wrong in this man's life. He says, it's neither. And we're not like that now, are we, with people with disabilities? We don't look at them and think, oh, well, there's something gone wrong there. It must be their fault. We don't judge. Although I wonder how it does feel to be a parent of a child with a disability. Do they feel they can walk freely through society or do they feel people look at them differently? Remember, Jesus says neither. It's neither. But we do judge, don't we? We do make assumptions. We all make judgments. I was just going to give the example of Paul's mum recently was talking about the fact that she likes to save pennies. She likes to penny pinch, although she's not poor and she doesn't need to do this, but she does it because it's back in her childhood. She grew up in a really poor place where they really did have to count the pennies and sometimes didn't have food. And Paul was just talking to her about the fact that some people are still like this today. People still struggle. And her sort of comment was, yeah, but people on benefits now, well, they're not, that's not the same. They could do something about it. It's something to do with them. So she's casting an assumption on them, even though her own experience is different. So what do we do? What assumptions do we make? And I was thinking as well, if we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, what do we expect to happen? What actually do we expect to happen? Nice things? Or do we expect the Holy Spirit to do some amazing, exposing, revealing work? If you look back across this year, this COVID year, I believe, and I'm open to being disagreed with here, but I believe that the Holy Spirit has been doing some revealing, exposing work. We pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So across our nation, across our world, things have been revealed which have not been pleasant. Things around racial injustice. More recently, the outcry over violence towards women. We see things around refugees. We see things around food hunger. Those videos we saw in Bradford that made the national media of people who are absolutely struggling hand to mouth, and the church, that's churches that are reaching out to them. Things become exposed. And we pray that, and things will become exposed in our own lives as well. So I'm just asking you this morning, where are the assumptions? And they can be broad scale national assumptions, or they can be things held in us. Because Jesus is saying to you this morning, neither. And then my final point is around seeing. So these signs, these six signs, there's one left, they're symbolic. Yes, there's a healing going on here. Yes, it's amazing, absolutely astonishing, but they're symbolic. They symbolize something else. So this sign is about removing spiritual blindness. And Jesus, God, is bringing light to all of Israel. And the people of Israel, in their desperate, flawed state, God is coming in and bringing light. And that's what he does today. That's what he does for all of us. And into someone who was born in darkness of not being able to see, he brings the order of a new creation. So this is kingdom stuff happening here as well. The blasting out of assumptions is also kingdom stuff. It's the sort of upside down stuff that Jesus does, turns it all around. And I was thinking something that I read by Ronald Rollheiser around the story of Moses. Moses, as you know, was called by God to go into Egypt, go back into Egypt to bring the Israelites out of their slavery and suffering. And if you probably know the story as well as I do, Moses at one point says, how about you send Aaron, not me? He's much better at talking. He's a much, you know, more strapping, good looking chap than I am. And he doesn't lisp like I do. And I think you do a better job. And God basically says to him, no. Because you have seen what's going on in Egypt, so you need to go. And that's simply one of the messages of this morning, is once you've seen something, you can't unsee it. And if you've seen something that you then stirs in you, then God is probably calling you to go and do something about it. So for me, in my life, I have seen suffering. I've seen the suffering that is caused by people who suffer from mental health problems, from bereavement, from just psychological distress. I've seen that suffering, and I do something about it. I can't not respond to it. As a church, I'd like to think about responding to mental health as we come out of lockdown. I'd like us to look into Kintsugi Hope, and one or two people have already come forward and said, yes, we'd like to do that. So what have you seen? What have you seen out there? I can call a few people out if you like. Karen Vekin, you have seen something around the stewardship of our planet. You have seen it and you are acting on it, and God is calling you to be our voice piece in that. Emma Hawkins, you have seen the mess that is made by littering our beautiful planet, and you have done something about it. And you're a Marla Womble, and you call people to go and join you and do that. I could list on and on. But I will end up getting into one of those not calling out people and forgetting people things. But we've all seen things that we can't not see. So three things this morning then. Jesus is God. Jesus is the light of the world. These signs come and they say, look, I am God. I am recreating. I am bringing a new kingdom. Jesus blasts assumptions out of the water again and again and again. And in this COVID time, he is lifting stuff and exposing stuff. And as a church, we need to respond to it, not just say, oh, it's all political, it's this or it's that. We need to respond to it and think about how we make a response individually and together. And thirdly, once you've seen something, you can't unsee it. You can't unsee it, and God will call you out on it again and again. So what have you seen this morning? And I'm not just talking here about the big things. You may have seen the difference it makes sending a message on your street WhatsApp group. Keep doing it. You may have seen the difference it makes just saying hello to people as you're on your morning walk. Hello. And they say hello back and a smile happens. And you didn't used to do that, but you've seen that and it makes a difference. So these can be the small things of life, or they can be the bigger things. So that's my challenge to you this morning. Thank you. Back to Al.